أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى، الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: يسألونك عن اليتامى قل إصلاح لهم خير وإن تخالطوهم فإخوانكم. صلوات. الله سبحانه وتعالى says that they ask you about the orphans. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنَ الْيَتَامَ قُلْ إِصْلَاحٌ لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ. Say that doing islah, taking care of their affairs, in other words, is khair for you. And if you mingle with them, they are your brothers. Our religion has focused on taking care of our orphans just like we take care of our own children. And the only guarantee that a person has that his own orphans will be taken care of if we die and our kids become orphans, the only guarantee that I carry that my children will be taken care of is the fact that I take care of the orphans of others. If I take care of the orphans of others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure that my orphans will also be taken care of. Whereas if a person doesn't care about the orphans of other people, there is no way we can be sure that our orphans will be remembered. Because in Islam we believe what the Prophet has said, "Man la yarham la yurham." Someone who doesn't have mercy on others doesn't get mercy from others. So we find it has been a practice of all the great personalities to take care of the orphans, because the Prophet has said that whoever takes care of one orphan will be that close, he brought his two fingers close to each other, and he said, anyone who takes care of one orphan will be that close to me in the paradise. إِذَا اتَّقَ اللَّهُ. If he has taqwa of Allah. So if a person has taqwa and he takes care of one orphan child, he will be so close to the Prophet. This makes it clear that how much of a value is this in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. In the life of Ayatullah al-Uzma, Shaykh Abdul Karim al-Ha'iri, who was the teacher of Imam Khomeini radhiyallahu alayhi, and he was also the muassis, the founder of the Hawza of Qum, we find that he did not have any kids until his old age, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a child who later on became another very big personality, one of our recognized Urafa, Ayatullah Sheikh Murtada Al-Ha'iri Rahmatullah Alayh. So this son was given by Allah in the later age of his life. And he has raised an orphan from the city of Yazd. And later on when Allah gave him a son, he said to his son that you have to buy the same food that you buy for yourself. You have to buy the same clothes that you buy for yourself. You have to buy him the same shoes that you buy for yourself. You're not supposed to buy anything different than what you buy for him. So this is how we are not supposed to break the heart of an orphan child. He should never end up feeling that if I had a father, if I had a parent, he would have taken care of me as well the way this person is taken care of. This is what the Islamic justice system dictates. So there is no room for us to make a different behavior. And we find that in the life, one of the personalities was saying that today is the happiest day of my life because I had raised an orphan in my life, and because he didn't have a father, so when he completed his education, he graduated, he rushed to me to congratulate. Because if he had a father, he had gone to him. Since he didn't have a father, he came to me to congratulate for his success. So this is the happiest day of my life. And it truly is the happiest day. Because these are the moments that we need to cherish. These are the moments that we need to feel good about. You know, Sheikh Baha'i Rahmatullah Alayhi has said that there is a bahjat. Sometimes a person feels good in the heart who are doing a good action. There's a fine line between ujb, khudpasandi, and bahjat. That means sometimes you feel good about what you do because you did an obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not considering yourself to be a good person without any fault. That would be ujb and khudpasandi. It's the sign of a mu'min that he feels good over the obedience of Allah and he feels bad over sinning. Man sarratho hasanatun wa sa'atho sayyatun fahuwa mu'min. Anyone who feels good about doing a good deed and feels bad over doing a bad deed is a mu'min. So that's how a mu'min is. Please say salawat. So we find that once the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam had asked Jibreel that do the angels laugh and cry, which I'm paraphrasing all these narrations in these nights. And Jibreel replied to the Prophet, yes, the angels laugh on three occasions and they cry on three occasions. So one of those three where the angels laugh is that if a person spends his entire day doing ghibat and backbiting, and by the time the night arrives, instead of realizing the wrong that he has done, before going to sleep, he still does ghibat in front of his wife. When the angels see this situation, they laugh. Obviously, this kind of person deserves this behavior, because despite the fact he's messing up with the dignity of a fellow mu'min brother, he still did not realize how big crime he has committed. Like Imam Ali alayhi salam has said in Nahj al-Balagha, that al-ghibatu jahdul ajiz. Ghibat is the effort of a weak person. If you were a courageous person, if you had guts, you have gone directly to the person, addressed the situation, and resolve the problem, isn't it right? Instead of talking behind the back, it's not going to resolve nothing for the society. So this is basically, ghibat is an effort done by the weak people. They are chickens. They are basically not ready to resolve any problem of the society. They don't have the guts. And there's much more to it in Islam, but that's not the subject of my speech. So basically, it's confirmed that ghibat, the person who backbites, is a weak person. He's not a courageous person. Islamic definition of courage, because we have our own definitions of our values. Where Imam Ali al-Islam has said, you know, أَشْجَعُ النَّاسِ مَنْ غَلَبَ هَوَاهُ. Isn't that right? The most courageous of all the people is the one who overcomes his desire. So we don't consider a person who can carry, lift a heavier weight to be the more courageous person. The most courageous is the one who can overcome his desires. So the second person for whom the angels of Allah laugh when they see him is the person who has his own land for cultivating his own crops. And despite the fact he has his own land, but he still sows seeds into the land of the next door neighbor so he can get some more crop from his land. So look at the greed of the person, that his own land is not sufficing him. So he's sowing seeds on the next door person's land. When angels see this behavior, they laugh. And the haram food, when it comes in the families, in the house, it brings, all the bala and tests and calamities in the house. And it leaves, it doesn't stick around. It leaves the house, after a very short while, and it takes away the iman of the person. So nothing remains. Neither the peace of mind nor the iman. People think they are smart, but they are not smart. They are deceived. So this is the third person for which the angels of Allah laugh when they see him is the woman who doesn't do hijab. She exposes her hair, in other words, doesn't do the hijab. And finally, so as long as she was alive, she didn't care about mahram and non-mahram people. Finally, when it's the time for burial, and she is dead, and there are people who are there to bury her, it is announced before they lay her into the grave that only the mahram people come forward. Only the mahram people come forward so they can pick up her janaza and lay her into the grave. So when the angels hear that kind of announcement, they laugh. She never cared about mahram and non-mahram throughout her life, isn't it right? Now you're announcing that only the mahram people come forward to lay her into the grave. The angels of Allah laugh when they look at this situation. There are so many who are fooled in the name of freedom, isn't it right? And democracy and women's rights and human rights, all those hollow slogans of the West. So, what do you mean by freedom? We have all the freedoms given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it right? We don't need any freedom. Allah has already given us the best of the freedom. You are free to dress up however you wish to dress up within the framework of halal. You are free to eat whatever you want to eat within the framework of halal. You are free to live wherever you want to live within the framework of halal. What else do you want? You want to do a haram then? That's exactly what the meaning of freedom is in the West. The license to do, the license to violate the law of the Creator. That's exactly what the freedom means. License to violate the law of the Creator. License to do haram. We already have all the freedoms that we... There has to be certain regulations applying on you. We are not animals, isn't it right? There has to be some red lines and green lines that we need to follow. So if somebody wants to, you know, trespass the red lines in the name of freedom, that would be worse than the animals. That's something that animals never do. You can hold a carrot in front of a tiger, and you can hold the meat in front of the horse for 1,000,000 years, and the horse is never going to consume it. Because they follow certain regulations that Allah sent them in the wahi. Quran says, أَوْحَ رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحَلِ. Isn't it right? Your Lord sent His revelation, your Lord sent the revelation on the honeybee. So we believe that all the animals have received the what we call wahyun takwini. So, coming back to the hadith, Jibreel said, the person for whom the angels of Allah cry is when an orphan child wakes up in the middle of the night because he doesn't have someone to take care of him, the father to take care of him. This orphan person, when he cries in the middle of the night, the angels of Allah start crying. That's because of the cry of one orphan child. Can you imagine how much important it is? The hadith says when an angel child cries, Allah's arsh and throne starts shaking. That's because of the tears of these are seemingly very simple things. But this is a huge burden on the neck of a mu'min as we are living through times where you find every now and then a bunch of shias are killed somewhere. Isn't it right? And we have our fellow mu'min brothers and sisters who are, being victimized, and we have the piles of orphans which are increasing our burden in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a lot riding on our shoulders every day which is passing by. And this increases in our responsibility. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we talk about the rahmat and blessings of Allah arriving our way, then there are ways to attract the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the strongest ways to attract the rahmat and mercy of Allah coming our way is that you care about others, orphans. We find that in the story of Prophet Musa and Khidr ala Nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding two prophets of God, Prophet Musa and Khidr alayhi salam, to come forward and straighten this wall which was tilted. Isn't it right? There was in the story that Quran narrates, wall was tilted, and beneath the wall there was a treasure that was buried which belonged to two orphan children. And now Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam is commanding Hazrat Musa upon the command of Allah to build the wall, to straighten the wall, take off your clothes, get ready, that means take the extra clothes, whatever you have, take it off, get ready to do this labor work, in other words.
Let's straighten the wall.
For, you know, and this wall, because in old days there were no safes, there were no banks, people used to bury their treasures beneath the walls and beneath their, under the ground. So Allah didn't want the treasure of those two orphan children getting wasted. So the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting the treasure of those two orphans is the what Quran says, kana abuhuma salihan. That means the father of those two orphans, the father of those two orphan children was a salih person. So, and here what in the tafsir by teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah was saying is that it was not the real father of those two children who was mentioned in the Quran. What is mentioned in the Quran, actually it was the 70th ancestor of those two orphan children. It's because of the 70th ancestor of those two children was a salih person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking two of the prophets to go and straighten the wall and protect their treasure. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
This is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the good deeds, you know, amalun saliha, the good deeds. If you have good deeds in your life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your orphans. And it is important to keep in our mind that once Imam Ali alayhi salatu was salam, had pain in his eyes. Prophet came and Prophet started to talk to Imam Ali alayhi salam about how the Malakul Maut, the angel of death, will come to take the soul out of the kafir people, of the kafir. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Prophet was saying that obviously there are two nails will be brought to take the soul out of a kafir. Then Imam Ali alayhi salam heard that. He said to the Prophet, is there anybody in your ummah whose soul is also going to be taken out in the same fashion? And Prophet said, three people. The three people in the ummah of the Holy Prophet, when Malakul Maut, angel of death, comes to take the soul out, he will bring two nails to take the soul out. The first is Hakimun Ja'ir, the Tahut ruler. The Zalim ruler, any Zalim ruler in the Islamic Ummah who is categorized to be a Zalim ruler will face this destiny. And the second person is Shahidu Zur, someone who gives a false witness. It's another very big problem in the Islamic community. You find people who are not ready to bear witness for the sake of adl and justice, so that the justice can be served. And there, some people are ready to bear witness falsely in the favor of the person who doesn't deserve to get what he's trying to get. Anyone who bears false witness in the ummah of Rasulullah deserves this behavior. The angel of death will come with the nails of fire to take his soul out. And the third person that the Prophet has mentioned is Akilu Malil Yateem, someone who consumes the money of an orphan. If the orphan children happen to have some wealth, some belongings, some piece of land, some money, some savings from their father, and others come forward and they take up the money and they consume it out of zulm and oppression. And this kind of person deserves that the angel of death, when he comes to take the soul out, he should take the soul out with the nails of fire. Quran has already announced, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا. Those people who eat the money of orphans out of zulm and oppression, innama yaakuluna fi butunihim naran. That means they are only eating fire. All they are putting in their stomachs is fire. Quran doesn't consider that food that a person may be consuming after usurping the money of orphans. Quran doesn't consider it to be that food. Quran considers that food to be fire. And it is literally a fire, because Quran is a book of haqiqat and reality, not a book which belongs to the world of fantasy. If there were urafa who don't have those hijabat and curtains of sins on their eyes, they could have seen this food in the form of fire that some people are consuming the money of orphans. Please say salawat. So Islam is emphasizing on the Islamic community. So all the teachings of Islam, if you look in the panoramic vision, you will find in the bird's eye view that all these beautiful values of Islam, the benefit returns back to the society. The benefit gets back to the believers themselves. Allah doesn't get any benefit from our obediences. When we practice this value system, we are ourselves guaranteeing a society which is based on humanity, human dignity, values and nobility. And we are ourselves guaranteeing our own successful future, not just in this life, but in the hereafter. So we find that that was the behavior of a prophet in Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. They have been raising orphans throughout their life. They have been taking care of the masakeen, the destitutes. They have been taking care of the poor people in their city. Without those orphans or poor people or masakeen, without those deserving people even ever discovering that this help is coming from Imam Ali alayhi salam or coming from Imam Salih alayhi salam, they never used to find out. But the Ahlul Bayt were sending, they were supporting, they were raising these orphans. They were doing the sponsorship of orphans. Everybody can sponsor. Isn't it right? We can all sponsor an orphan child. We can all take care of the orphans. It doesn't cost a lot of money. Prophet has said, even if you don't have the money, we can always pay a visit to the orphans. Because Prophet has said, Man masaha yadahu ala ra'sil yateem tarahuman dahu. Whoever rubs his hand over the head of an orphan out of rahmat and mercy towards him. Just to show rahmat and mercy towards him, if you go visit an orphan child and you rub your hand over his hand, it's extremely emphasized, mustahab, recommended act of Islam, that whenever you interact with an orphan child, you rub your hand over his head. Every hair, Prophet said, every hair that passes under your hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for every hair, gives you one hasana, one good deed, for every hair. And Allah also, the hadith says, that Allah provides one palace for the person in the paradise, for every hair. Can you imagine the reward? How much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves rubbing the hands over the head of orphans. For every hair, Allah provides a palace in the paradise. Obviously, there are so many deeds that people are doing which entitles them to earn these palaces and rewards. But then there are some people who are erasing the deeds as well. We do certain good deeds, then we end up erasing those good deeds. Habtul amal. All the good deeds get dropped all of a sudden. Gets erased. All the efforts goes down the drain because of so much bad deeds that some people do, that it basically erases everything. Isn't it right? So Prophet was telling in his advice to some of those ashab, anyone who says Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, Allah makes sows one tree for him in the paradise. And this person said, that's exactly what I was saying when I get out of my house. When I got out of my house today, all I was saying is this very zikr. So I must be having a huge garden by now in the paradise. Prophet said, yes, but إِيَّاكُمْ أَن تُرْسِلُوا إِلَيْهَا نِيرَانًا فَتُحْرِقُوهَا. Be warned that don't send fire towards that, so you would end up burning it. Some people do so much bad deeds after doing good deeds that, you know, basically they are sending fire to all that garden. Please say salawat. So rubbing our hand on the head of the orphans earns us that status of having those palaces and closeness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There has to be some resemblance. When we talk about the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, there has to be, no one can be like them. But there has to be some kind of resemblance between us and them in our actions. We need to have some good deeds that makes us similar to them in our spirituality. And and that has to be in a consistent way. Look at the wasiyat of Amir Mumin alayhi salam. In the wasiyat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says, Allah, Allah fil aytam. Tonight we are discussing kifalatul aytam, sponsoring the orphans. So Imam Ali alayhi salam says in his wasiyat, remember Allah about the orphans. فَلَا تُحِبُّ أَفْوَاهَهُمْ. Don't keep their mouths open. That means, in other words, that ghib in Arabic means that you give them on one day, you provide them on a day, and you skip the other day. Then you again provide them on the next day, and you skip the other day. There are some people who do like this. They do some good deeds for a while, and then they stop doing it. Imam Ali al-Salam is saying in his wasiyyat that don't provide to the orphans by skipping a day in the middle or a while in the middle, in other words. That means you need to consistently support the orphans. Whatever we have, as much as we have, we should have consistency in supporting the orphans. You know? Ghib in Arabic means that you do something on one day and you don't do it on the next day. Like Prophet has said in his hadith that, you know, zurni ghibban, tazdad hubban. And when you visit me, come for my ziyarat, that means you come for my ziyarat on one day and don't come on the next day. Come on the other day and then don't come on the next day. This is how you will increase in your love. Now there are some people are like this, but some people have higher level of ma'rifat, so visiting every day will increase in their love. But there are some regular people who are such that if they come on every day, they will end up losing the love. So for the regular people, it does apply. They should skip one day in the middle. That's better for them because they belong to a lower level of iman. It's better for them to skip one day in the middle. So, but when it comes to orphans, you're not supposed to do this. If you are supporting an orphan, we need to consistently support him without any gap. This is how we are supposed to. There was a person, it's narrated in the history, that he was himself a poor person, and he liked to, you know, he didn't have money. Once he got some, he purchased some fish for himself. He liked fish a lot. He never had the money to buy fish. So once he found some and a very poor person, and he bought fish for himself. As he was coming back to his home, he encountered another poor person who was begging on the street. This person himself is a poor person, and he found another poor guy on the street who was begging. And after a long time, he got that much money to buy a fish. He never had that sort of money to buy a fish for himself. He liked it so much. So now that he encountered this another poor guy in the street who was begging, he gave away the fish that he bought to him. You don't have to be rich to provide to others. You need to have a big heart to provide to others. There are lots of people who are rich in this society, but they don't have a heart. They are so much having a love affair with the money. They are into this world. They are not ready to get away from its attachments. So it doesn't take a lot of money to earn the high levels of paradise. All the supporters of all the prophets, I remember, Imam Khomeini Rizwanullah Alayhi used to say that all the prophets' supporters were poor. All the supporters of all the prophets were poor throughout the history. If you think you find the movements of the prophets were supported by the rich people, you don't know the history of the prophet then. You're ignorant. None of the supporters of none of the prophets were rich in their personal lives. Even Hazrat Khadija, who made a lot of money, but her personal life was just like a poor person, because the entire money she made was spent for the sake of Islam. Her personal lifestyle was like a poor person. Doesn't matter for her personal lifestyle how much money did she make. So the general principle doesn't break. All the supporters in their personal lifestyle, the lifestyle they had was like a poor person. This entire movement of Islam throughout the history have been supported by the masakeen and the fuqara through their sacrifices. Islam is a religion supported by masakeen and fuqara. Isn't it right? So we have the narration that says that Jannat, paradise itself, will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said once to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi lima ja'altani maskan al-du'afa wal-masakeen. Oh my Lord, why did you make me the residence of the destitutes and the poor? That means all the people inside Jannat are destitutes and poor. Jannat said to Allah, like just like hellfire speaks, unlike the fire of this world which cannot speak, hellfire does speak, lots of conversations that the hellfire will do to various types of sinners and even to non-sinners. So similarly, the Jannat also speaks. So Jannat said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did you make me the residence of the destitutes and the poor? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied back that, are you not pleased that I decorated you with Hasan and Hussein alayhi wasalam? And when Jannat heard that response and became happy, the narration says, just like the bride celebrates and becomes happy. That's what we learn in the light of the narration. That's not the exact words. So what I was saying is that throughout the history, the movement of the prophets have been supported by the masakeen, the poor people. So this poor person who brought fish for himself, and he liked it a lot, he never had the money to buy, he gave away the fish to this poor person, another poor person who was begging on the street. And one of the teachers was telling us in his conversation, one of the teachers, great scholars, was telling us in his conversation that this poor person, he saw in his dream on the same night when he gave away this sadaqah, this fish that he loved. Now, Islam is asking us to give away from what we love. Isn't it right? Not give away from things that we don't love or we don't care about any longer. So we bring the ripped and the broken chairs to the Sunday school and the broken sofas to the Islamic center and the waste carpet we donate it to the masjid, and the remainder of the food we give it to others. This is not considered to be Siratul Mustaqim. That's not the path, straight path of Ahlul Bayt. The straight path of Ahlul Bayt is we give away from the things we love. And I always say in my speeches that we need to put a box in our home. And we put over the box things that I love. Write down over the box things that I love. And ask your kids to drop into the box from things that they love. And we give sadaqah from those things that we love. If we are serious to get close to Allah and to Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. Because Quran has already said, لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You never reach the level of birr, you know, unless you give from what you love. So, he gave away that fish. He saw in the dream, Amir Mumin alayhi salam came and there were a bunch of people with him. And Imam Ali alayhi salam was looking towards his heart. He had several hajat, and everybody has hajat. We all have hajat in our life. Imam Ali alayhi salam was looking at his heart and he says, as if there's a book, you know, the wind is blowing and all the papers are moving. One by one, the pages are turning. You know, just imagine if the wind is blowing and one by one the pages are turning of the book. And finally, Imam Ali alayhi salam stopped at that very hajat of mine, which was a long-standing hajat since long time. And he fulfilled that hajat for me. And there were a bunch of people next to Imam Ali alayhi salam, and they said, "Ya Mameen, Mameen, we also have our hajat." Imam alayhi salam replied back, but he did a big thing. That means, because he gave away that thing that he loved as sadaqah. He himself was a poor person. He could have made 1,001 excuses to keep that thing with him. So when we take care of others from things that we love, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam love to see from us. Because they did the same way. They gave away from the things that they love. They gave away their own children. They gave away everything they had for the sake of Allah. Did Imam Hussain al-Islam spare anything for himself? Nothing. Imam Hussain al-Islam didn't keep nothing for himself. Everything that he had, he gave it for the sake of Allah. How much love. And not just that, but he said in his share that Ilahi taraktul khalqa turran fi hawaka. Oh my Lord, I left the creation. That means I left everything, in other words, for your love. Wa aitamtul ayala likay araka. I made the children orphans. I made my family orphans so that I can see you. وَلَوْ قَطَّعْتَنِي فِي الْحُبِّ إِرْبًا. If you cut me in your love in pieces, مَا حَنَّ الْفُؤَادُ إِلَى سَوَاكَ. In other words, my heart will still not be inclined towards anyone other than you, or anything other than you. Look at the love of Imam Hussein. Look at the deep love and ishq towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything has been given. Everything he gave for the sake of Allah. It's very hard to give your 6-month-old baby who has no fault. Isn't it right? It's so hard. When we go through that situation, then we realize how hard of a test is this. It's very hard to sacrifice a son like Ali Akbar. Who has a son like Ali Akbar? Nobody can understand other than Imam Hussain alayhi salam. It's so hard to sacrifice Ali Akbar. It's very hard to sacrifice the son of your brother like Hazrat Qasim. These people were the greatest people available on earth. It's so hard to have a sacrifice for Sakina. Isn't it right? When we find the news of the Shahadat of Hazrat Muslim reached Imam Hussein, you know, Ayatullah Sheikh Jafar Shustari rahmatullah alayhi says that Imam Hussein fulfilled every mustahab even on the day of Ashura. Not a single mustahab of the Shariat was left out by Imam Hussein unfulfilled. Every mustahab of the Sharia was fulfilled by him even on the day of Ashura. Look at the azamat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Despite all the greatest tests, didn't Imam Hassan say to his brother Imam Hussein at the time of Shahadat of Imam Hassan? Imam Hassan says that La yawmaka yawmika ya Aba Abdullah. No day is like your day, O Aba Abdullah. Imam Hussein's day is the hardest of all the days. Despite the fact his day is the hardest, he's performing every mustahab. Ayatullah. So we find that when the news of Hazrat Muslim's Shahadat reaches Imam Hussein, he was traveling towards Iraq. He takes the orphan daughter of Hazrat Muslim. He takes the orphan daughter of Hazrat Muslim into his lap and he rubs the hand over the head of this orphan daughter. There's so much sawab in rubbing the hand over the head of the orphan child, isn't it right? And this daughter asks Imam Hussein, the daughter of Hazrat Muslim, that you are rubbing the hand over my head as if I became orphan. And Imam replies, if you don't have a father, then Hussein is your father. So he doesn't want the orphan Hazrat Muslim to end up thinking there is any difference of behavior between how Hazrat Muslim loves his daughter and how Imam Hussein loves his daughter. There has to be the same behavior or even more. How much Imam Hussein is taking care of the orphan. And Hazrat Sakina was watching that situation, hearing that conversation. And finally, we find that Imam Hussein is bidding farewell and doing the wida and leaving the khiyam. And he leaves finally. Hazrat Zainab says, Mahlan ya akhi. She says that stop with my brother. Hatta tazawwad minka, so I can see you more. In other words, I can have a more time with you. How much Hazrat Ahmad loved her brother. Now Imam Hussein, when finally he departs, and he finds somebody is chasing him, as he turns around, he discovers that Hazrat Sakina, his daughter, is following him. Imam Hussein gets off the back of the horse and comes to Sakina once again. And Sakina says to him, then make me sit over in your lap. That means make me sit the way you make the daughter of Hazrat Muslim sit in your lap. In other words, and rub your hand over my head because I know you are not coming back.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها وإلها پرچم إسلام کو سر بلند فرما پرچم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سرنگون فرما انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما علماء ربانیین تمام مراجع کرام بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پر برقرار رکھ تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائے ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاہ محمد و آلہ المیمین یا حسین